Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chav. Hey, we're holding on daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rav Nachman Hani Livni. Last run line is Livni, about 12 lines from the end of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And it is also sponsored as Chusra for Shlema for Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're first going to discuss today is kelim that are sometimes mukta and sometimes not mukta. Can you have such an item that depending on maybe its location, is it mukta? Depending on how the item is arranged, it may or may not be mukta. And then the Gemara is going to tell us three halachos about broken kelim, three different halachos about shivrei kelim, and then we're going to quote a machlokas about broken pieces of an old oven, and we're going to have three different explanations of what the nekudas ha-machlokas is, what that machlokas is actually about. And that's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah over there is going to talk about cases where a rock and a vine, which are normally classic muktzah items, a rock is definitely muktzah, a vine, but cases where a rock and a vine can somehow not be muktzah. Then the Gemara is going to talk about a machlokas, how to deal with a rock that is on top of a wine barrel, and you want to access the wine. So we're going to have a machlokas about the Mishnah is going to take later in the Masechta is going to take a stance on what to do about that. But we're going to have a machlokas amarayim exactly what the circumstance of the Mishnah is, and we're going to use our Mishnah as a raya one way or the other in that machlokas. So let's begin again. We're holding at Amar Rav Nachman Hani Livni. Last word on the line is, what did I say before? Where are we? I'm Rav Nachman Hani Livni. Last one on the line is Livni, about 12 lines before the end of the page. So says the Gemara, I'm Rav Nachman Hani Livni Dishtayr Mi Binyanav. There are some bricks that are left over from a building project that were clearly designated to be used for building, but now the building is already done. Sharilu Tutulinu, the Chazun Lemizga Elayu, you're allowed to be Metalta them on Shabbos. They are not Mukta, because now they're not needed for the building anymore, so people could use them to sit on them as a chair. So now it's considered like a kli, it's just like a chair. But shardinu, but if you arrange them and you pile them up together, vadayaktinu, then you know that if they've been arranged and piled together, then you know that they've been designated for some future building project, in which case they no longer have a status of a kli, and therefore one may not be metal to them. Amar of Nachman Shmuel, cheres katana, a small piece of pottery that had broken off of a kli, mutar letalto b'chatzar, a person is allowed to be metal to it in a chatzar on Shabbos, because kelim you can always be found around the chatzer, and a little piece of cheres is useful when you have kelim around, because it could be used to cover up a kli. So it's like it's a kli itself. Avol b'karmelis lo, but depending on location, if it's in a karmelis, then it's no longer going to be mutar l'taltel, it's going to be muktzah. Since you don't find kelim around the karmelis, you're not going to find a use for this piece of cheres in a karmelis, and therefore it's considered to be muktzah. Now Rashi points out, when we talk about that b'karmelis, you're not allowed to be metaltel, we mean even betoch arba amos, you're not allowed to be metaltel, because that's normally the shear within a karmelis that you'd ever be allowed to be metaltel, meaning we're talking from a muktzah perspective, not from a hotza'a perspective. This is just about being metaltel, let alone carrying something for amos. Rav Nachman Didei Amar, and Rav Nachman himself says, nah, filu b'karmelis, a second opinion. Rav Nachman says, even in a karmelis, it's going to be somewhat useful, and therefore you're going to be allowed to be metaltalit, because a karmelis is not a rishus harabim. There are people that sometimes take a break and relax in a karmelis, and therefore it's if you're likely to find things that you find when people are in a location, when people stop in a place like a saliva or something like that, that you might want to cover up. So this broken shard, this piece of pottery, can be useful for that purpose. It could be useful to cover up some saliva or something else. Avol rishus harabim lo, but in Rosh Hashanah, where there aren't so many people around, and therefore the chatichas cheres is not going to be useful for anything, so then it would be muktzah. Then it would not be useful. The Ritva raises the question that based on this premise, any rock you find in a chatzah should be mutzah betiltel, because you could use it to cover up some mess. You could use it to cover up some rope, some tzawa, anything that you might find out in the chatzah. But a rock is a classic example of something that's muktzah. We don't say that a rock, oh, it depends where you are, it depends what location you're in. So why should the broken piece of pottery be any different? So the Ritva suggests that a tashmish like this, of just covering up something dirty, would not qualify something as a kli l'chadchila. But if something was once a kli and then it broke off from the kli, as long as it has some tashmish that it could still be used for, so then we're still going to grant it the status of a kli. So we're talking about a piece of pottery that broke off from a kli. Okay, so it was once a kli and now it could still retain the status of a kli as long as it has some use. But a rock is going to be absolutely useless. It's not a kli at all, and therefore the fact that you can use it to cover up some rope or some tsoa or something like that is not going to grant it the status of a kli. So Asemis raises the question that if it's good enough to cover up some saliva, why does the Mishnah have to say that the shivre kli should be roi to be mechasa kelim? We add in the Mishnah that a broken kli has to be roi to use to cover up kelim. It shouldn't be necessary. So Asemis answers based on the maskana of the Gemara that the Mishnah is talking about when it broke on Shabbos. So in a case where it was roi to cover kelim, then you'd be able to be metaltal it, because otherwise it's a brand new tashmish of that item. It's considered like nolad. So because it was never this usage of it was just created on Shabbos, like a broken kliyetz that broke on Shabbos. That's only roi to be used for firewood. That's called nolad. But if it broke on erev Shabbos, where there's no isra of nolad, then ein achinami. Just for whatever usage it might have, like covering up some saliva or some tsoa, that would be good enough. But then the Gemara quotes a third opinion, Rava Amar Afilu Berushos HaRabim, that this piece of pottery is even mutter to be metaltel in a Rishos HaRabim, because it's usable there, because since it's usable in a Chatzer, meaning Rava agrees, it's not usable in a Rishos HaRabim, but since it's usable in a Chatzer, the change of location that this item happens to be in Rishos HaRabim is not going to alter its Muktzah status. If it wasn't Muktzah in the Chatzer, it will not be Muktzah in the Rishos HaRabim. Vazer Rav L'Tameh, and this is Rava L'Shita So. The Rava Avakaz L'Britka D'Mechuzza, Rava was traveling by the Ritka of the city of Mechuzah, Sayyid Fasai, Misani Tina, meaning he's like by the riverbanks probably, and it was a muddy area, so his shoes got dirty with mud. So Asa Shamesh Shakal Chaspa become Chapalei. So his Shamesh came in, he took a shard of pottery, and he started cleansing it, he started cleaning it out. Ram Be Rabban Kala, so the Rabban started screaming, how could you be metaltal a broken piece of pottery in Rosh Hashanah? You're not allowed to do that in Rosh Hashanah, it has no use. So this Ritka was a Rosh Hashanah that he was walking in. How could you take a broken piece of pottery in a chatzar? Fine, we wouldn't have had a problem with. But you're in a Rosh Hashanah, by virtue of the fact that it's in a Rosh Hashanah, that makes it muksa. So Amar, so Rava commented when he saw that Rabban were criticizing his shamash. He said, "Lomas tayed lo gemiri abba migmar nami megamri." It's bad enough that you guys are ignorant, that you don't learn enough to know what the halacha is. But you're going to go and shout at somebody else. You're going to go teaching the halacha as if you know better what the halacha is. That's terrible. Ilu b'chatzar v'yimilu avachazil. Because after all, this item is not muksa. If it were in a chatzar, we'd be able to use it to cover a kli. So in Rosh Hashanah, it's also ratway for some use, and therefore it's ratway for it to clean with, and therefore you're allowed to be metaltalit. It's not so common that someone's shoes get muddy and they're going to use it for this purpose, so that wouldn't be enough to consider it a kli. No, I don't need that to consider a kli. Just the very fact that it's usable in a chatzar for very common usage, that would be enough to consider a kli. Okay, new statement now. Three different halachas I'm going to see about a broken kli. Halacha number one: Amar v'dimar Shmuel, magufas chavis shenichtesa mutal l'taltal b'Shabbos. So the way it's all about where you put the kama. It's not magufas chavis shenichtesa. It's not really about the kama. It's an unusual phrasing over here. Meaning, one could have read this as the covering of a barrel that has been broken, which sounds like the cover has been broken, but that is not what we're talking about. The covering of a barrel where the barrel is broken. So you have a pot lid, but you don't have a pot anymore, right? The pot itself that the lid was made for is now broken. So now what is the status of that lid? What is the status of that magufas ha-chavis when the chavis itself is broken? So mutal taltal b'Shabbos. You're allowed to be metaltal that covering on Shabbos because both the covering and the broken pieces of chavis are still rotwi for some sort of use. You could use it to cover other kelim. Tanya Nami Achim, if Rabbi says just like this, Magufa Shenichtasa, again, it's unusual phrasing. Magufa means the seal of the barrel, Shenichtasa, where the barrel itself was broken. He Ushvareha, Mutal Tatlam B'Shabbos, both the covering and the barrel itself the broken barrel, you're allowed to be metalta on Shabbos. Below yuspos mimena shever. But nevertheless, you're not allowed to be take out some of the protruding edges and smooth them out. The chasos pas a kli v'lismach b'kirei amita, to then use it to cover a kli or to support a bed, because then you're making it into a kli, and that's a violation of makabe patish. So you know, if it's broken, you're allowed to smooth out the edges in order to use it as a kli for some other purpose. V'im zuraka ba'ashba aser. But if you throw that makufas chavis into the ashba, then it's going to be aser to be metaltel, because by throwing it away, you're clearly showing that you're being mevatel its usage as a kli, and therefore it's going to just be an item of muktza. So now the Gemara challenges the seifa maska for Rav Papa. So I ask Rav Papa, wait a second, this last halacha that when you that if you throw the covering into the garbage, so now it's going to be aser betiltel elameata zarekle leglime hachinami daser. Whatever you throw into the garbage automatically becomes muktza. Let's say a person throws his shirt into the garbage. You want to tell me that it's aser to be metaltel, that now it becomes muktza? Wouldn't we say batal daiter etzel das kol adam, that most people don't throw their clothing away, and therefore it does not become muktza just because one meshugana threw his clothing away? So to over here, by the covering of the barrel, just because this guy decided to throw it to the ashba, that should not grant it the status of muktza. The Ritva raises the question, you know, what's the comparison? A beged is a davar chashuv. If you're being mevatel it, then it's really batal daiter etzel das kol adam. Whereas the magufa schavis shenishbra is no longer chashuv. It's a lid to a pot where the pot no longer exists. So the Ritva suggests that what he means to say is that since it was muchan agav the chavis, it's throwing it into the ashba is not going to take away the Torah's kli. And just like it's obvious that throwing a beged into the ashba doesn't help to mevatel Torah's kli, because it's a davar chashuv, he's just trying to drive home the point that once it becomes a kli, you cannot be mevatel Torah's kli simply by throwing it in the ashba. So Rav Papa suggests that here's how to understand the brisa. Elam Rav Papa, so says Rav Papa, im zrakam ibod yom la ashba asura. If you throw the magufa into the ashba on Shabbos, of course it's not going to become asur. You can't be mevatel once it's a kli. But if you threw it out on erev Shabbos, then it's going to be asur, because then you're megaladas before Shabbos that you have no intention to use it, and to you it's nothing, so it's not a kli. Amar baram duri amar shmol karomis shal machzelas mutzel tatlam Shabbos. If you have small pieces of wood that came out of a mat, so you're allowed to be metalta them on Shabbos. They're not muksa. My taima, what could they be usable for that you're not going to consider them muksa? Amarava baramduri azbrili machzelas gufa lemay chazil chsui beafra. Well, what is a mat used for? It's just used to cover up dirt so that when people walk on the floor, the dirt shouldn't go up and make it difficult to breathe. Saninami chasin lechsui beitinofa. So these little pieces of the mat that came off are also usable. They're usable to cover up any sort of dirty area. So since you would still keep them in order to use them for the same usage that they had originally, so it doesn't make a difference that they're now separate from the original machzelas. They're going to be mutter to be metaltel. Amar b'zeirah amarav, another halacha number two, shiari prosmoyos, pieces of felt that remain from talisos, also the talisos on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos. A piece of cloth, let's say, that come off of a talis, you're not allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos. Am Rabbi Matanyo Shein Behen Shalosh Al Shalosh. That's if they are smaller than three etzbos by three etzbos. Tlo chazil no laniim v'lo lashirim, because then they're not roi for anybody to use. Even aniim would not put away such a small piece of cloth. They're useless for anybody. But if it's larger than that, then they're roi for something, and you'd be allowed to be metaltel them on Shabbos. The Ritva writes, well, wait a second. Why do we say that they're not ra'i for aniyim or for ashirim, but they're still ra'i l'chasas ben lichluch? You could still cover some dirt with them, you could still cover some rope with them, some saliva with them. Why would that make them aser betiltel? So he quotes from the Ravid that we're talking about, where it came from a talis shal mitzvah. That we're not talking about just a piece of cloth that came off of any garment, that came off of just anything. No, it came from a talis shal mitzvah. So you would never use that to be mechasa lichluch, to cover something dirty, to cover something disgusting, to cover some tzoa or some rope. Because the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, the Gemara in Sukkah says that, how do I know that it's talis shal mitzvah? The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that Rav Amram Chasida used to put tchelos on the talisos of the people of his household. And over there, the Lashon person is parzuma. So you see that talisos shel mitzvah are called parzumios. That you see that that the Chazal use such a lashon. So even though the halacha is that you're allowed to throw away tashmish mitzvah lachas man mitzvason, so but nevertheless you're not supposed to do a tashmish shel bizayon. Right? That's what we've mentioned many times. The difference between tashmish kedusha versus tashmish mitzvah. Something was tashmish kedusha, then the achas man mitzvason, you're no longer using it. It needs geniza. You need to put it into shemus, but then you need to bury it. But tashmish mitzvah liachas man mitzvason. The halacha is not that you bury. You can throw it away. But even when you throw it away, you're not allowed to do it in a disrespectful fashion. Rav Shachtel points out in there, it's at Tzvi, I think in the name of Rav Salvechik, that there's a difference, the difference between Tashmish Mitzvah versus Tashmish Kedusha. The gedder of what defines Tashmish Mitzvah versus Tashmish Kedusha is Tashmish Kedusha are things that are items that are associated with Ksav Shel Torah, with the actual writing of Torah, whereas Tashmish Mitzvah are not associated with Ksav Shel Torah. They're just associated with the fulfillment of mitzvahs. That's what he suggests, that maybe that's why there's a halacha that a Jew after lachar mei avasrim, the body has to be buried. It requires geniza, whereas there's no mitzvahs kvura by a ben Noach. Why would there be a difference between ben Noach and Yisrael? We all do mitzvahs. We're all holy in that sense. We're all commanded in mitzvahs. Ben Noach are commanded in 7 mitzvahs. We're commanded in 613 mitzvahs. Is it just a numbers game? So you're going to say that the body of a woman is less holy than the body of a man because she's chayiv in less mitzvahs than a man is chayiv in, and a kohen is going to be different than, or a melech is going to be different. It's just a matter of the number of mitzvahs that you're chayiv in. So you suggest, no, it's not about the number of mitzvahs, it's about the relationship one has to Torah itself. That the Torah is kosav al luach libecha for a Jewish person. It's considered to be written on luach libecha. That's the Beis Halevi, as at Drasha, where he suggests that the Jewish body is the heart of the Jew is the klaf for the Torah Shebal Peh. It's the klaf for the Torah Shebal Peh. That's why when a person is present at the death of a Jewish person, he has to tear kriya because it's sefer Torah shenisraf. It's like a sefer Torah that was burnt. So that's tashmish kedusha. Whereas an Eino Yehudi doesn't have that relationship to Torah, but he's chayiv in mitzvos. So his body is tashmishe mitzvah, so it's not going to require geniza lachas man mitzvasan. Memela, there's no mitzvah of kvura. That's what he suggests. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a brisa where you have machlokas about a broken oven, an old broken oven. So Tanur Rabbanan, Shivri Tanur Yashan, a broken old oven, meaning it's old means it's already been used. Harein Kukala Kelim Anitolim B'chatzar. So it's like any other kli that could be moved in a chatzar, you're allowed to be metaltal. Divrei Meir, Rabbi Yudomer, Ein Nitalim. No, it's also metaltal. Hey, it Rabbi Yossi Mishom Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov, Al Shivrei Tanur Yashan Shen Nitalim B'Shabbos, that it is mutzat to be metaltal, like Rabbi Meir says, Val Kisui Yoshein Tzarech Besiyad, and the covering of such a Tanur does not need a handle to grab it in order to allow it to be metaltal. Even without such a handle, you're allowed to be metaltal it on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, B'maikra Miflugi, what is the machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda over here? So we're going to have 3 explanations of what the machlokas is. So explanation number 1, Amar Abaye, Ba'osin me'ein malacha ve'ein osin me'ein malachton kamiflugi. The machlokas is, what if the broken pieces can be used for a malacha, but not for a malacha that was similar to the malacha it was originally intended for? Vaz Rabbi Yehuda Tamei, and this is Rabbi Yehuda L'shitaso, that he says in our Mishnah, that a broken kli, you're not allowed to be metaltel, unless it can still be used for something similar to what it was originally intended for. It's Rameila Shitaso, because he said in our Mishnah that you're allowed to be metaltel shivrei kelim as long as they could do anything, even if they can't do something similar to what they were originally intended for. So Masma Rava Iachi had mifli b'shivrei tanur l'fukul b'shivrei kelim bi'alma. Yeah, but if that's the case, why they are only arguing about shivrei tanur? They should talk about any shivrei kelim, about any type of kli. It's not about an oven. There's nothing unique about an oven. So that brings us to explanation number 2. Ella Amrava b'shivrei the high tanur kamiflugi. The machlokas is about a broken piece of an oven that's similar to the oven described in the following Mishnah. The Mishnah in the 5th parak of Maseches Kelim, when it talks about the tumah status of an oven, it says, Nesanu al pi abara al pi adus. If you put the oven over an open hole in the ground, a bar that's supported by a kosel shalavanim, by walls that are made out of rock, v'nasun sham even, and you put between the walls of the tanur and the walls of the bar a piece of stone, and that wedges it in there really well, so it's the tanur is now sitting on top of the open space on top of the bar. So the halacha is this machlok tanaim whether it's makabel tumah or not. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer im. I'm sorry, I see that I went out there for a second. Not sure why that happened. So the Mishnah says that if you put this oven on top of the bar, on top of the dos, and you stick a rock in there to hold it on really tightly, so Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im masik milamata vu nisak milamayla." If when you turn on, put a fire in the bottom of the bar, it's going to heat up the oven on the top. Meaning, when you're mavir an esh in the bottom of the bar, and you leave the tanner right next to the walls of the bar, you don't need to. All it needs is one little. Piece of rock to hold it in place, and the airspace in between them is barely recognizable, so the heat is going to be retained fully inside that bar, so it's going to keep the heat in the oven, then tame, then it's mekabel tuma. But vimlav, if the tanur is not going to be heated up by a fire that's in the bar, and you need to be to light up the tanur from within itself, like any other tanur, then it's not mekabel tuma, then tahar. Then if a tame item touches it, it's not mekabel. It's going to be tahar. The chamar mimhol v'husak mikol makom tameh. And the chamar say, since the tanner was already used and it's not a brand new tanner that has never been used, it's always going to become tameh. It's going to have a full status of a kli, and therefore it's going to become tameh whether you can light it up from the bar or whether you need to light it up from itself. So b'maykamifli, what exactly is the machlokas about? So b'haikra, they're arguing about the following pasuk: tanner v'kraim yutatz tameim heim utameim yiyu lechem. That you have to destroy a broken oven. An oven is a kli cheres, so a kli cheres does not have any tarid. The only way to be metarid is by breaking it. So Rabbi Yehuda savar mechusar netitza tameh, she'ein mechusar netitza tar. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it needs to be broken, meaning from Lashon of Yutatz, we see that if it's a tarid that's attached to the ground or close to being attached to the ground, so you could talk about netitza, so then it's tameh, it could become mekabel tuma. And when the tanur can be used by lighting up the fire inside the bar, it's like it's mechubel lekarka. But a tanur that has no connection to the ground, really, so it's not mechusar netitza, meaning you can't use the lashon netitza, because anything that's not really close to the ground is already nutz. It's already detached. It's already broken in a certain way. So you can't be mekayim that pasuk of tanur v'kirayim yutatz. Then it's going to be tahar. For rabbanan sabri tmeim yulachem. No, the pasuk says tmeim yulachem, and after it says tmeim heim, it adds tmeim yulachem. So that's a reboy to tell me that it's always going to be tameh, whether it's a real chibur lekarka or not. So says the Gemara, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? For Rabbanan nami yaksiv yutatz. What did the Rabbanan do with the word yutatz that makes it sound like there's a difference between whether it's really connected with the ground or not? No, huli idach kisa. That word yutatz is there to tell me a chumra, that even a tanda that's mechubur lekarka is mekabel tuma, because you would have thought it's not. To salt the to come in and keep the chabri bar kuguf da aradami to come out shmulan. I might have thought the fact that it's mechubel karka makes it less likely to be mekabel tuma, because it becomes like the ground itself. So come out shmulan that it's still mekabel tuma. I v'idach nami. Where does Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with the chum and holds that only a tanur that's mechubel karka, where it's shayich netitza, is mekabel tuma? Haksiv tamei miul lachem. What do you can do with the riboy of tamei miul lachem? No, he could Rabbi Yehuda or Shmuel. That's there to tell me what Rabbi Yehuda or Shmuel tells me. The machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum is only in the first time you light it up by the opening of the bar. So that's where Rabbi Yehuda says that the tanur that's lit up, where that's fired up when it's not mechubel lekarka, does not become a kli to be mekabel tuma. Aval pasuk sheni, but if you've already used it once before when it's mechubel lekarka and it's become a kli in that spot, and then you take it from there and you put it on the bar, I mean, you've already used it when it was mechubel karka and it became a kli in that spot, and then now you moved it from there and you put it al pi abor to light it up again, and it becomes tameh. So then afilu tali b'tzav gamel, then even if it's not anywhere near the karka, even if it's hanging around the neck of a camel, it doesn't lose its kabbalas tuma until you break it. That's what Tamei Milucham tells me. That's what the Riboy comes to tell me. That once it was once used as a mechubel lekarka, even if now it's completely detached from the ground, it's still going to be a taner. It's still going to be a kli. Amrula hesek rishon the rabbanon afilu tali b'tzav gamel. The even by the hesek rishon, according to the rabbanon that learned from the Riboy of the pasuk, that you don't need the heat of the taner to be fully maintained by attaching it to the ground in order for it to be mekabel tuma. It doesn't have to be on top of a bar. It could be anywhere. It could even be totally detached from the ground. So that's the machlokas from Meir Rabbi Yehuda about moving a broken tanur on Shabbos. We're talking about such a tanur that's not really attached to the ground, that it's only wedged in. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not considered a kli to be mekabel tuma. It's not considered a kli to be metaltal on Shabbos either. And therefore, the broken pieces are also aser betaltal. But according to the Chamim, we disagree, meaning Rabbi Meir, that even a tanur, even a tanner like that is considered a kli to be mekabel tuma. So melitz considered a kli legabe hilchos Shabbos as well, and therefore the broken pieces you're allowed to be metaltel as well. So maskel Ravashi asked Ravashi, well, wait a second. If that's the pshat in the machlokes, why are they only arguing about the broken pieces of a tanner? Talk about the tanner itself. The whole issue is the tanner a kli? Forget about the broken pieces that come off of it. So hash the tanner gufa the Rabbi Yehuda lo avamana shvar mibayi. Rabbi Yehuda would say even the broken pieces itself, even the tanner itself rather, is not a kli. So the broken pieces you need to tell me about? Of course the broken pieces are going to be also betiltal. So that brings us to the third explanation of the machlokes about these broken pieces of a tanur. Ela am ravashi liolim kadamar meikara. Let's go back to our original explanation that they're arguing about a regular broken pieces of a normal tanur that's attached to the ground, that's ra'oi for some sort of malacha, but not for its original malacha. Okay, meaning it's not ready to be used for baking on it anymore, but it's ready to be used for something. Uba'osa maisa tafka, but it could be used as like a heating tile. Sometimes they would heat up a fire underneath a tile, the tile would get burning hot, and then they would like fry some eggs or something on top of that tile. So it's similar to the original malacha. It's used for cooking things, it's used for baking things, but it's somewhat different in the way that you're using it to bake things. So Rameh l'dvar d'rabi d'kamar. Rameh was making his argument within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Lidi di afilu ba'osin me'ein malacha. I hold, says Rameh, that it, as long as there's any use, it doesn't even have to be a similar use to what it was originally used for. That's irrelevant. El lidi doch, but according to you, that it has to be similar to the original usage. At least be mode that this is close enough. If it used to be used in food preparation through the vehicle of heat, and now it's still being used in fruit preparation through the vehicle of heat, that's got to be good enough. So Rabbi Yehuda lo dami, Rabbi Yehuda would say, nah, you can't compare it. Hasam haseko mi b'fim, hacha haseko mi b'chutz. When you light up an oven, the fire is on the inside. Over here, the fire is on the outside of the tile, once it's a broken piece of pottery and you're using it like a tile. Hasam u'umad, over there, the oven is standing up. Hacha lav u'umad, over here, when you're using it like a tile, the bread that you put on it is not standing up. The bread is lying down flat. So it's used in an entirely different way. That's not called Me'in Malachton Rishona. That's not considered to be similar to its original malacha. So the Braisa then went on to say that, hey, Rabbi Yosef Meshum Rabbi Lozben Yaakov, al Shivrei Tanur Yashon Shanitalim B'Shabbos, val Kisu Yashenu Tzarech Beis Yad, that an old broken piece of a tanur can be moved on Shabbos, and the covering of a tanur doesn't need a handle. So I'm Ravina, Kaman Metaltalina Ne'idna. Whose shita do we follow nowadays when we're Metaltal Kisu Yad Tanuri de Masa Mechasya? The coverings of ovens in Masa Mechasya, the Einlein Beis Achiza, they don't have a handle. So Kaman, that's easy, Rabbi Lozben Yaakov. It's like Rabbi Lozben Yaakov, who says that you don't need a base yad in order for it to be mutter metaltel, you're allowed to be metaltel even without a base yad. So it's explicit like Rabbi Lozben Yaakov. So it's not even a shaila whose shita we are in fact following. Okay, new Mishnah now. So the Mishnah is going to discuss cases where a rock or a vine could somehow not be mukta anymore, and then we're also going to talk about being mosif alo alarai. But that's sugi in the Gemara. We're probably not going to get to till tomorrow with being mosif alo alarai. Even Shabikiruya. Let's say you have a rock that you put it on Erev Shabbos in a hollowed out gourd. You have like a hollowed out melon that you want to use to fill up to fill it up with water on Shabbos. So you can imagine like a piece of, take a huge watermelon, you cut off the top, you hollow out the entire inside. So now it's a very usable kli. You could fill it up with water. So im memalin, so you put an even attached to that, you put a rock attached to that to that hollowed out shell. Why? Because if you try to dip that shell into water to fill it up with water, it's just going to float on top of the water. You need something to give it weight to make it sink in so that it can fill up with water, and then you can pull it out. So if when you fill it up with water the rock is not going to fall off, it's attached really well to the hollowed out cord, then you're allowed to draw water with it on Shabbos, and you don't have to worry about any problem of muktza. But if it's the oven is not tied on so well, and when you fill it up, the rock is going to fall away, ein mimalimba. Then you're not allowed to fill up with it on Shabbos, because the rock is not considered a part of the kli. It's like any other rock that you're not allowed to be metaltel. And therefore, the gourd, you're also not allowed to be metaltel. The melon, you're also not allowed to be metaltel, because it became a basis l'davar aser. Since it's connected to the rock, and it's being mishamesh, the rock is being mishamesh it, so that's considered a basis l'davar aser, and mele it's going to be a problem of mutza. Zmora, let's say you have a vine, a grapevine, shikshura bitafiach, that's tied to a bucket that you want to fill up with water from Erev Shabbos, and the vine is just like the string that you use to lower the bucket into the well. So malin baba Shabbos, you're allowed to fill up with it on Shabbos, because now that vine is no longer considered to be muktza. Now a new halacha. Let's say you have a window shutter. Rabbi Lazar Amar Bizmanshu Kasher B'Talui. If it's attached really well to the window and it's hanging in the airspace of the window, pokinbo, then you can close a window with it on Shabbos. Vimlav, but if it's not hanging in the airspace, it's just dragging on the ground, ain't pokinbo, then you can't shutter a window with it on Shabbos. V'chomrom b'inkach u'b'inkach pokinbo. The Chum say either way, you're allowed to use it to shutter the window on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah later on in this Masechta where the Mishnah tells us, Evan Sha'al Piachavis. You have a rock that's in the most unfortunate of places. It is on the opening of a barrel that you want to use on Shabbos because you want to access the wine that's in that barrel on Shabbos. Problem is, a rock is muktzah. So here you have a muktzah item sitting right on top of a barrel of wine. So what do you do? Mata al tzidavino fellas. Just tilt the entire barrel. The rock will fall on its own, and then you can take wine from the barrel. And the Mishnah is going to go on to say over there that if the barrel where the rock was on is among other barrels in your choshesh, that if you shake it off then it might break one of the other barrels, then you're even allowed to lift up the barrel that has the rock on it, bring it somewhere else and tilt it somewhere else. The Mishnah goes on to say you don't only have to tilt it in place if there are other barrels around that might break from the rock falling off of this barrel. So Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. That's only if you forgot the rock on top of the barrel. But if you place that rock on top of the barrel on purpose, then the barrel is a bust of davar aser, and therefore it's muktza, so you're not allowed to even tilt the barrel. So even the barrel itself is also betiltled. Rabbi Yosef, I'm Ravasi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. But Rabbi Yosef says the name Ravasi and the name Rabbi Yochanan, that the whole case is only b'shocheach of b'maniach, nasakisu l'chavis. Then no, when it's maniach, when you place it on top of the barrel, it doesn't become worse, it becomes better. It's not that when you place it on top of the barrel, now even the barrel is muktzah. No, when you place it on top of the barrel, even the rock is not muktzah, because now it becomes a kisa l'chavis. Now this rock isn't just a rock; it's a covering to this to this barrel. That's what some of the achronim suggest, that they're both quoting Rabbi Yochanan. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan said two separate dinim that are opposite of each other? He's talking out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. So over here, it's very simple how to tighten it up. What must have happened is Rabbi Yochanan says this is only a case of Shocheach. It's only a case of, so they and each Talmud in their own mind drew a different conclusion. Oh, so what would the halacha be about Maniach? So one Talmud said, oh, it must be that the halacha be Maniach is that the whole thing becomes a basel davar aser. And the other Talmud said, oh, it must be that when it's Maniach, that it's going to become a kisui l'kli, and therefore it's going to be considered not muktzah itself. So I'm a rabbi musvina nashmaitin. I can ask on my shita from our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, ha'evin shabikiruya. That if you have a rock that's attached to the hollowed out melon, if you can you can fill it up with water and it's so well attached to the melon that the rock is not going to fall away from it, so then you're allowed to use it and it's not muksa. So what do you see from there? That an evan that's been designated to use becomes part of a kli and it's mutter to be metaltel. So too, if you have an evan on the opening of a barrel, it should become part of the barrel and should be mutter to be metaltel. Says more of a lohi. It's not a kasha. Hasam, keeping the hatka shavya dofen over there by the melon. Since you attach it to the melon, it becomes part of the dofen of the kli. But putting a rock on top of a kli, that's a total. That's not nearly as connected. So a rock on top of a kli is not going to become part of a kli. It's not going to become its own kli. It's not going to become considered the covering of a barrel. That's still going to be muktza. Amar Rav Yosef. Then Rav Yosef commented that his version also has a problem from our Mishnah. Umasvinin ashmaitin. I could ask a kasha myself based on our Mishnah, because imlav, we said that if the evan is not so well connected, it's not so well tied to the hollowed out melon, ein mimalimba, then you're not allowed to fill it with it, because then it's going to be muksa. So I have a problem with my shita, because when you put a rock on top of the barrel, how well connected is that? It's not attached really well. So shouldn't it be a problem with muksa? Velohi, but it's not a problem. Hasam, kibin dolohatka petuli batla, because over there it's useless when it's not so well connected. Since it's not attached, you'd be megaladas that evan is not really something that you care about so much. You're not interested in using it. If you were so interested in using it, you would attach it really well. So you must not be so interested in using it, and therefore it's not a kli. But over here, the way to use it to cover a barrel is just by placing it on the barrel. So you are using it, and therefore it does become a kli. But my kamifli, what's the machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi? So mar savar bi'inan maisa, umar savar lo bi'inan maisa. They very simply argue that Rabbi Ami holds that in order to be miyachid muksa item on Erev Shabbos and turn it into a kli, you need a maisa, you need to do something to it, to change it, to make it a kli, like tying it on to the gourd. But just placing it on top of a barrel, not good enough. Whereas Rabbi Yasi says, nah, you don't need a maisa to make it a kli, just use it, and that's good enough. So putting it on the barrel is going to be good enough. Vazlu tamei, and this is Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi, lishitasam, tichiyas Rav Dimi, because when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amr Rabbi Chanina, he told us the name Rabbi Chanina, Vamilam, Rabbi Zeram, Rabbi Chanina, Pamach, Hasalach, Rabbi Lamakom Echad. One time Rabbi went somewhere in Erev Shabbos, Umata Nidbach Shalavanim, and he saw a row of rocks. Vamr Talmidav, and he told his Talmidim, Tzu'uv Chishvu Kadesh Neshal, and the Machar. I want you to think that you want to be Miyachid those rocks for Yeshiva. You want to sit on them, you want to use them as chairs, so that tomorrow we'll be allowed to sit on them. They're not going to be Mutsa. Velo Tzrichon Rabbi Maisa, and Rabbi did not require that they go through any sort of Maisa. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tzrichon Rabbi Maisa. The Rabbi did require that they go through some sort of Maisa. So my Amalahu, what did Rabbi say to the Talmidim to be Matir sitting on these rocks? So this is Machlokas. Rabbi Ami Amar Tzuvelam Dum Amar Luhu. He told them that they have to go and rearrange the rocks in order to be able to sit on them, because they're not Mutal Taltal, because you can't be Machsh of them like a Kli without doing some sort of Maisa. Rabbi Yasi Amar Tzuvel Shafshafum Amar Luhu. He actually told them to go and to rub down the rocks from any mud that might be on them in order that they'll be more pleasant to sit on. So in that way, they're considered kalim, and you could designate them for yeshiva. So even though cleaning off the rocks is not a mice, is not really a maisa hachana, Rabbi Yasi holds that that's good enough. Just cleaning off the mud from them is good enough to make them a kli. So you see, it's the same machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi. Does an evan become a kli with a minor hachana, just like the evan on top of a chavis? Itmar Rabbi Yosef and Shaul Amar Savar Shal Koros Hava. That the case of Rabbi was not with rocks; it was with a bunch of beams. Of Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul Amar Gashur Shal Sfina Hava. It was actually with the stick that they used to measure the depth of the water when you're traveling by boat. So Man Yamar Gashur Shkol Shkin Savar. If you hold that it's talking about the thing by the boat, and even though it can easily get ruined if you use it for something else, Rabbi still allowed being metaltal it with some sort of minor amount of achana, then for sure a row of beams, the halacha would be that way, because people are less makbid about beams than they are about the goshesh shel svina. But if you say that it's about the beams, avol goshesh kapid alayu, then you would say that maybe people are more makbid about the goshesh shel svina. Zmora shikshur. Then we said that if you have a vine that's attached to a bucket, so then it's not going to be muksa. Kshur Asura in Lokshrilo. The implication is that if it's not tied on, even if you can hang the bucket on it in some way, it's not going to be considered usable. It's going to be Mutsa. So they must listen to look from Shimon Gamliel. That's again from Shimon Gamliel. The Tanya Chariyo Shel Dekel Shegadron Le'etzim. If you have branches of a dekel that you cut them in order to use them for firewood, so they're Mutsa Machmas Gufan V'Nim Lachle in the Yeshiva, and then you decide you want to use them to sit on, you want to use them as a kli, Tzarech Likshar. You need to tie them from Erev Shabbos in order for them to be considered a seat. But Shimon Gamliel Omer Ain Tzarech Likshar. You don't actually have to connect them and tie them. Amr of Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, nah, feel the same Rav Shimon Gamliel. We could even be saying, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that even with a machshava, it's good enough to be miyachid muktza. I worry about the zmorah that you have to tie it on. Hachmeyaskinu b'muchuberes ba'avia. That's talking about a zmorah that's still attached to the original gefen. So in that case, even Rav Shimon Gamliel will say, okay, you got to tie it. If it's still attached to the original gefen, you got to tie it to the kli in order to make it part of the kli. Ihach, he says, well, if that's what we're talking about, it's still attached to the ground. You're being mishamish from mechubel karka. That's for sure a violation of muktzah. You're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. Says Rav Lamata Mishloshi. Yes, you are. If it's less than 3 tefachim from the ground, there's no issur. If you want to sit on the roots of a tree that are less than 3 tefachim from the ground, that's going to be mutter. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema Betlusha. Rav Ashi says we could even say it's talking about where it's already detached, and we can still say that it's going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. When the Mishnah says you're not allowed to draw water with a zmora that's not kshura, that's not tied, gzeira shemiyiktum. The gzeira is that you might come to, when you come to hang the bucket to draw the water, you'll see that it's too long and you might come to clip it. So since it's very soft and it's easy to cut, so you might cut it and therefore you're going to violate the melacha of makah bepatish. So Rav Shimon Gamliel would be modded in that case of zmora that you need to tie it on, because otherwise there's a gzeira that you might come to cut it down to size. Okay, we'll stop there. But from tomorrow, we'll pick up with Pekak HaChalon. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
Easy fast, everybody.
Yes, easy fast, everyone.
Thank you. You know the shroom today, right?
No, not online. No.
Have a great shot. Have a great day.
You too.